and it'll work for us. God will make it work. Amen. But it is good to have you today. I appreciate the Benedict family being with us. They'll be uniting with our church at the invitation in the morning hour. And looking forward to them working with us here in the Island Ford Baptist Church and our fellowship and being a part of the ministry. I'm sure you'll welcome them. I hope that you will. And into our fellowship. Make them feel right at home here in Kentucky. You know, I Kentucky folk, and I guess maybe all folk, I don't know, but Kentucky folk, they got a way sometimes of being a little clannish. You know what I'm saying? They like to, especially over in eastern Kentucky, I don't notice it so much here, but over in the eastern part of the state, they pretty well run in clans over there. If you understand, well, Hatfields and McCoys, you know what I'm saying? You stay on your side, and we'll stay on our side of the fence. And it's kind of that way everywhere you go, I think, in Kentucky. Folks are just kind of that way. They don't cotton too much to outsiders. I remember years ago I was in back in the 60s, when stationed at Fort Knox, Kentucky, we went to Hindman and buried a military fellow, gave him a military funeral there in Hindman. And the fellow that plays what's the horn called?
Bugle.
The bugle. When they played taps, he told later that we buried this fella. It was out in the country on private land. Well, it really is a little cemetery on private land up on the side of a mountain. I mean the side of a mountain. It took about 12, 14 men to get the casket up the hill to the place. And we was a huffing and a puffing when we got up there. I fired the gun, one of the rifles, in the salute. And we was a huffing and a puffing. I noticed them old 75 and 80-year-old women wasn't even drawing a deep breath. I thought, my, how bad a shape I'm in. But the bugler told us, said later, when he started going off to play the taps, you get out of sight when you play those taps, and said whispered to him and told him, said, now, young man, said, don't you meander off too far up in there with that uniform on. Now, you understand what they're saying? We've got a moonshine still up there, and that uniform of yours ain't going to look too good to them fellas back in there. So you don't go too far back in the woods now. You keep in eye contact with what's going on down here. Somebody said, are they really that way over in there? Go over there and try them sometime, friend. You'll find out how they are in eastern Kentucky. Amen. But they're good people. My wife's from over there. Hey, I've got to say something good about them. Amen. Where she's from. But they are good people, okay? All right, the book of Solomon again this morning, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, and let's stand together when you find that. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. I'm come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou doest so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word this morning, of His word. And you pray that God will help us in this hour and give us some real grace to be able to preach to you, okay? Our Father, we look to Thee now for guidance. Look to You, Lord, for help in the morning hour to preach the Word of God. I pray that You'll anoint Thy vessel as well as Thy Word. Give great power to preach and wisdom and understanding to know exactly what to say for the glory of God. I pray, Lord, that You'd take Thy Word this morning, quicken it to hearts, and save such that are lost and without God and without hope. And may You, Lord, use it today to bless the people of God. Help us, O God, to see our Lord Jesus exalted in His rightful place and position. Help us this morning to see His majesty, His beauty, and His glory. I pray that You'll give these lips of clay, this tongue of clay, Lord, words that will rightly define and magnify Him in our presence to this people. Give grace to every heart. And bless every heart, and we'll thank You, and we'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Our text this morning is found in verse number 11, where the Bible said that His head is most fine gold, and His locks are bushy, they're as black as a raven. Now, I want to preach for a little while this morning on the thought, my beloved is the golden beloved. She first says there in verse number 10 that He is white and ruddy. Amen. And that blows out of the saddle Brother Smith's working friend that said that Jesus was a black man. Because it said in chapter 1, He said, I'm black, but comely. Well, He said here in chapter 5 that He's white and ruddy. Amen. And then He said in verse 11 there that His head is made of gold, most of fine gold. And so that blows that fellow's theology out of the water, doesn't it? But I want to preach for a little while today on that thought, my beloved is the golden beloved. That is, He is definitely the chiefest among 10,000. He is the altogether lovely one. He is our golden beloved. For the Bible said that He has a head that is of most fine gold. It's not just gold, but it's most fine gold. And His locks are not only bushy and black, but the Bible said they're black and they're bushy and they're black like a raven. Now, in these verses, and I've said this so many times, I hope it don't sound like a broken record, but the church here is continuing her response to the question that was asked her by the daughters of Jerusalem. And they asked her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? She first says that he's white and ruddy. And then she goes on to begin to describe Him in a more particular way. For she moves to the features of His physical body. And she says there, she describes His head as being of most fine gold and His locks as being black and bushy. Now, there's two Hebrew words in the Word of God that signify the word gold. And one of them means to be fine and shining. And the other word means to be strong and solid. And I say without any hesitation that our Lord is the strong one. Friend, strong enough to bear the sins of humanity in His own bosom upon the cross. And He is the solid one. For the Bible said that He's the rock of all ages. Thanks be unto God that when He lifted you and I out of that horrible pit, He set our feet upon what, church? A solid rock. I'm glad, thank God, that our golden beloved is that solid rock that our life is built on. I want to throw this in right there. You don't have to worry about that rock sinking, by the way. Brother, it's greater than the rock of Gibraltar. He is the rock of all ages, my friend. And they've been men and women building their lives upon that rock ever since a man has been upon the face of God's earth. Now, I want to say to you, it's never let a man down. It's never disappointed a man, and it's never let a family down. No, sir. You can build on that rock. He is a strong and He is a solid rock. But that other word in gold means to be shining. It means to be bright. It means to be brilliant. May I say to you this morning that our beloved outshines them all. Hallelujah to God. He's greater than the prophets were, is what Paul said in the book of Hebrews. And He's greater than what the angels were, what He says in Hebrews. And He's greater, my friend, than Aaron in his priesthood. Oh, there's no doubt about it. And by the way, He's greater than all men that has ever been born of woman. Our beloved, our golden beloved, my friend, outshines all that has ever went on before you and I. Hallelujah to God. Son, He's more than chiefest of 10,000. Somebody said, preacher, can you brag on Him? Boy, I'd like to, friend. Son, when I think about what God's done for me, to think that He has been likened unto gold, a most fine gold, and His hair is bushy and black like a raven, my friend. And to think that He is so glorious and brilliant and altogether lovely in His majesty, and yet He condescended to the estate of a man and gave His life on the cross that we might be saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. That stirs me up. My beloved is the golden beloved. Amen. Both these words, both of them, when they are used in this term here, and they mean most fine gold. He's not just gold, and He's not just fine gold, but He's most fine gold. That is that He has been refined and purified, without and found to be without sin, that He might be made our substitute and our sacrifice. That He might be the Lamb of God. Oh, yes, my friend, for the Lamb of God must be without spot and without blemish. And our Lord Jesus was so refined and so purified that He is without sin, laying His life down upon the cross, that He might be made to be sin, that our sin might be laid upon Him, that He might, my friend, take our sin, and you and I might go free by the grace of Almighty God. Now, don't leave me now. Some folks believe, and I wouldn't gainsay this, but there are those that believe that by His head of most fine gold, that Solomon is referring to the Godhead, the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And it might very well be. For Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Hallelujah unto His wonderful name. Somebody said, "Preacher, what will we see when we see God?" You will see the Lord Jesus Christ. "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Was it not Philip that he said, "Philip, have I been with you this long and yet you don't know me? For when you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Philip, he could say that, my friend, because our beloved, our golden beloved, was very God in the flesh. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. I'm not going to get into this, but I found something in this boy that floored me. For we look at the Godhead as being, we believe in three personalities, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And those three being equal in attributes and power. And yet Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "Know ye not that the head of every woman is a man, and the head of every man is Christ, and yet the head of Christ is God, and that when all things have been accomplished, that this golden beloved of ours will offer up the kingdom unto God, that all things may be subdued under His feet." Now I'm telling you, my friend, that literally blows my mind. What He's telling us is that the golden God, beloved, is our Godhead, and yet He's very God, and yet by being God, He's also God-man, and by being God-man, He is subject only unto Himself in attributes and power. Woo! Son, if you can get a hold of that, it'll make you shake a wicked leg. He's simply saying there is none in heaven and in earth that has the power and the glory of our golden beloved. Son, you can get a hold of that, it'll make you do a war night. Amen to God. But you know the bride here, I don't think she's looking at Him as the Godhead. Now this is Brother Hall now. Because we're looking here in terms of the church and Christ, the bride and the bridegroom. And when she began to define, describe Him as being white and ruddy, and as being His head of most fine gold, and His hair black and bushy like a raven, I don't think she's looking out yonder and viewing Him in His Godhead. But I think she's looking at Him as her bridegroom. You know what I believe? I'm gonna give you this. Take a minute, but I'm going to give it to you. You know what I believe she is describing Him as, we bring it down maybe to earthly vernacular, as He stands at the altar and waits to consummate His marriage unto her. Now, friend, we want to call a lot of attention to the bride. And son, when we play that bridal march on earth, all eyes turn to the aisle of that church, and we look at that lovely bride coming down the aisle in all that white apparel. And there's not ever much said about that poor old bridegroom that stands up at the altar and waits on that little old bride. I mean, nobody tells what he wore. They could give a flip less what his hair looked like or what kind of clothes he had on. They're more interested in that bride. But, oh, my friend, I'm going to tell you who that bride's interested in. Son, when she comes up the aisle, she's not interested in that crowd sitting around her, mommy and daddy with tears running down their face and all that mess that's going on. Son, she's got her eyes set on that man of her life that stands at the altar and waits at, my friend, to consummate their marriage together. I believe with all my heart. I believe, Benny, with all my heart. That little old bride, when those daughters said, "What is your beloved more than another beloved?" I believe she looked up the hallway, and my friend, to that a consummation chamber yonder in heaven, and said, "Why, he's white and ruddy." Yeah. Hallelujah to God. Yeah. And his head is like most fine gold. The son, she is describing her bridegroom, my friend, as he stands at the altar and waits to consummate their marriage together. Knowing that they're going to have a 7-year honeymoon. Woo! Hallelujah to God. You imagine spending 7 years with the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. Getting up from the marriage supper of the Lamb and coming back to this earth. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, friend. Oh yes, what is your beloved more than another beloved? My beloved is not just another beloved. He is the golden beloved. His head is like most fine gold. His hair, black and bushy, like a raven. Hallelujah to God. Now I see about 4 things here. Now because she is looking at Him or viewing Him as her bridegroom, she sees Him as man and mediator, as the man Christ Jesus, and as her mediator. Amen. Now, if I know anything about that, what she sees Him is as the head of the church. Amen. Christ is the head of the church. Amen. Isn't that what the Bible said in Colossians 1:18? And He is the head of the body, the church. And when she sees that head of gold, let's look at it first of all as gold. She said He's got a head of gold. I believe first of all that typifies His preeminence in the church. My God, I tell you, friend, He ought to sit on the throne of every heart in this room this morning. When we come in, our minds ought not to be straying out yonder in the world thinking about the worldly pleasures and possessions. No, sir, our worldly gain and prosperity. If He is the preeminent one in the house. And by the way, we oughtn't even have our minds set upon what Sister So-and-so's wearing this morning. What color the preacher's necktie is. Will he wear the same suit this Sunday wore last Sunday? Who gives a flip what color necktie we got on? Amen to God. We ought to come to church realizing that there is a golden head in the church who is the Lord Jesus, my friend. And He is the preeminent one in the house of God. I've been in churches, they think the deacon board's preeminent. I guarantee you, it ain't going to be, it ain't that way. Not Sister Sally Wigglejaw either. There ain't no woman in the church got the preeminence. No man in the church. Christ is the head of the church. When she said His head is of most fine gold, she was saying that my beloved is the head of the church. And how can that be? I'm going to tell you, because He purchased the church with His own blood. It is His, my friend, by purchasing rights. We belong to Him. What? Know you not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in you. You're not your own, for you've been bought with a price. He is the preeminent one. Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir. Notice He said in Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that He might have the preeminence. Preeminence in what, Brother Hall? I'm glad somebody asked, because I'm fixing to preach it. That word preeminence means, my friend, to be first in rank or influence. Has ever occurred to you that there is none above Him? Not in rank, for He is the captain of our salvation. There is none preeminent to Him in influence. For it is His work on the cross that has influenced all of our lives and brought us to a saving knowledge of Himself. Oh, thank God, in rank and influence, He is our preeminent one. And He is because He's been first in every facet of our life. Nothing, my friend, that He comes... He is second to none. No, sir. In the race, He is the captain of our salvation. That has already run the race and is set down at the right hand of God. Oh, He's first. Somebody said, well, He's preeminent in what, Brother Hall? I'm glad you asked. I won't say He's preeminent in resurrection. Amen. Did you know there wasn't a soul got out of the grave? Not an Old Testament saint ever got out of the grave until our Lord was resurrected. There could no man, my friend, stand in the presence of God until the blood had been offered upon the altar in heaven. Do you realize our Lord had to get up out of the grave, my friend, as the first fruits of the resurrection and ascend back to the right hand of God, that there, my friend, He might with His own blood make reconciliation for our sins, not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Bless His wonderful name. I'm going to read a few scriptures for you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses, chapter 15, verse 20 and 21, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Get a hold of that. He's not in the tomb. This bunch of idiots going to Jerusalem every year and going over and standing in the tomb and weeping. I've heard some of them say, oh, my heart broke when I looked in the tomb and saw where they laid my Lord. And it just broke my heart when I realized that He had been laid in that grave all by Himself. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't grieve and mourn at the grave. No, sir, I'm rejoicing at the grave. You know why? Because 3 days later after they laid Him in that grave, our golden beloved, my friend, by His own power got up out of the grave and ascended back to where He had came from before. Why you want to look into an empty grave and weep and mourn? I'm going to tell you something else. If you've got loved ones that died in Christ, you don't have to stand at their grave and weep. He's the first fruits.
Amen.
Listen what I'm reading to you. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept.
Amen.
For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Son, I like that. You got, hey, somebody said, preacher, you're going to play on words. I'm going to play on words for a minute. He did not say resurrection from the dead. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, I'm glad that Paul didn't say he was the first fruit of the resurrection from the dead. It's of the dead, son. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Know you not that he's not a God of the dead, but he's a God of the living? When he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's not the God of the dead, my friend. He's the dead of the living. And to be the first fruit of the resurrection of the dead simply means those that have gone on to be with God. Hallelujah to my soul. He is preeminent in his resurrection. He's the first fruits of those that sleep in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we're not going to battle much this morning. I'm trying to help some of you.
Amen.
He goes on to say in that verse, for in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order.
Amen.
Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Woo! Some, because the first fruit got up, you and I have assurance that we're going to get up also. Blessed be His wonderful name. There's coming an hour when the trumpet's going to sound, Brother Ricky, and the dead in Christ is going to get up out of the grave, incorruptible and undefiled, and shake the dust off of our burial crown. Yes, sir, and rise to meet Christ in the clouds. Amen to God. I'm glad Jerry's having a good time. I'm trying to. I like it. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, what if, friend, if he be not risen from the dead, we're yet in our sins. It took the resurrection. Yeah, that's right. Not just the death, but it took the resurrection as well. And it took the life that he lived. He said, because I live, you shall live also. Oh, that's His wonderful name. I won't say secondly. Man, you will have some time fun here in a minute, Jerry. Not only is He preeminent in His resurrection, but He's preeminent in His rest.
Amen.
Hebrews 1:3, Brother Paul said, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Somebody said, when am I going to rest? When your work is done. I said I wasn't going to meddle, but I might meddle a little bit. Buddy, we're a pretty sorry lot when it comes to work and labor for God now. We don't want to witness like we ought to. That's right. Come on in the house, children. We don't want to labor around the house of God like we ought to. Somebody said, I'm tired. We'll rest when our labors are over. You know, He's the only high priest that ever rested.
Right. Amen.
Only high priest ever sat down. The Bible said when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
That's right. Friend, hey, those other high priests had no chair in the holy place to sit at. They were constantly working about, constantly moving about, working in that holy place. But Christ, when He had finished His labors on earth, entered into a rest and He sat down at the right hand of God. I'm glad. Thank God He's given you and I a rest. Until that day comes, let's work, let's toil, let's labor till Jesus comes, friend. He is preeminent in that rest. You know why He can give rest to you and I? Because He is at rest. Woo! Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have a salvation rest. We have a service rest. But Sunday's coming, a seventh day rest that we know nothing about yet. Whoa, for as God rested on the seventh day from all of His labors, even so you and I are going to have a day when we'll rest from our labors. Thanks be unto God. No more truck driving. No more wrenches to twist. No more sweeping, no more gobbing. No more tiling, no more stinking chickens. No more splinters. No more songs to play. No boards to nail. I'm telling you, that's right. No more logs to saw up. I'm talking about a real rest, son. I'm talking about a happy day when we get on the other side. Son, we can sit out and rest forevermore in the presence of God. And He is the preeminent one in that rest. I'm going to say thirdly, He's the preeminent one in His return. Paul, John said in Revelation 19:14, talking about when the Lord returns, coming on a white horse and a sharp two-edged sword out of His mouth, with a vesture dipped in blood and written upon His thigh, Lord of Lords, the Word of God. Amen. And Paul said, or John says there, chapter 19, verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him. I'm gonna slip something in right here. If you don't learn to follow Him now, you will not follow Him then. There's a whole lot of folks talking about following God, and they don't know a thing about following God. They're so self-willed and stiff-necked and strong-hearted, son. They have done set out to do their own will. Amen. To do their own little thing. I'm gonna tell you why these men are falling into adultery. That's right, I knew I'd have to hit sin a little lick. I'm going to tell you why these men are becoming whoremongers. Because they always had been a whoremonger in their heart. They've never gotten that sin of whoremongering out of their soul, my friend. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Yet somebody said, oh, they're just overcome. I'm telling you, sometimes people are overcome. But son, you ain't overcome for 3.5 years in a particular sin. Come on in the house now. I won't charge you a thing for that. But I'm telling you, I'm about to get sick of the mess. Huh? That's right. Preachers run around over the country preaching, and my friend living in sin, adultery at the same time, eyes full of adultery, hearts full of lust and lasciviousness. Now, I'm going to tell you what I told our men, and if it embarrasses you, you can go to the back room and blush. But I told them in the Sunday school hour that is the sin of the age, brother. And the men of this church better learn. Unless they're in the John, keep your britches zipped up.
Amen.
Well, son, it will get you in trouble, gentlemen. Your flesh cannot stand that. And you better learn to avoid opportunities to be tempted in that way. Well, then I guarantee you, if you ever allow yourself to get that way, the devil will make sure he capitalizes on your stupid mistake that you've made. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about following Him, brother. The armies of heaven followed Him. They wasn't out in front of Him. And I'm going to tell you, all this machoism that we see today, and I've been guilty of it, about all these macho men of God and how real macho that we are, you know, it ain't going to be that way.
Amen.
In fact, it ain't that way.
Amen.
Most of us that claim to be macho are cowards at heart.
Amen.
That's right. Men better learn to follow Him. Because when He returns, we're going to be behind Him, son, on horses.
Amen.
No, not out taking the lead, buddy.
Amen.
That's right. And I'm going to preach a little bit on that tonight.
Amen.
Taking the lead, following Christ. Trying to be the preeminent one, overbearing, promoting ourselves. Come on in the house. I'll give you a little insight. Promotion does not come from the east or the west, nor from the south. God sets up one and God puts down another. And promotion, my friend, comes from Almighty God. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Preeminent in His return. I want to say, secondly, that gold not only represents His preeminence, but it represents His power. It said most fine gold. Son, gold is the most precious of all metals. And it here denotes power, the power that He possesses as a result of His riches and wealth. You know, you've heard them talk about the powerfully rich. Oh, they talk about how much power Rockefeller's got, how much power the Kennedys have, how much power and wealth that the Clintons have now. Son, they're on skid row.
Yeah.
His head is of gold.
Amen.
He has got power, and His power is due the riches that He has. Let me just throw this out. This is not even in my notes. But has it ever occurred to you that He owns all heaven and earth, and everything beneath the earth, my friend, belongs to Him?
Amen.
Talk about Rockefeller's power. What they have, God gave them. Amen. And what God, what the Kennedys have, that they got by being crooked.
That's right.
Liquor selling bunch of devils.
Amen.
Yeah, they got their money from booze.
Amen.
Selling liquor.
Amen.
Come on in the house, young'uns. I won't charge. Now, I know some of y'all, that's some of y'all's God.
Amen.
But He's dead and didn't get up. And my golden beloved died and got up.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else. Talk about the government. Oh, the government says everybody and their hound dog wants on government programs. Because, we got a $1.6 trillion overload. Well, hallelujah to God. What's that two pieces of paper they got? It'll burn, my friend, in the consummation of the ages. It's worthless, I'm here to tell you. Our golden beloved has all power because He owns all wealth and all riches. That's right. I won't charge you nothing for some of them statements. But His power is seen in His wealth and His riches. But what about, He's got riches far beyond the riches of this world and far beyond the riches of heaven itself.
Amen.
Paul talked about in Romans 2:14, said He's rich in goodness.
Woo!
If y'all wasn't so dead, I'd try to preach a little while. Miss Homer, skint you women this morning.
Amen.
Are you hot? You want to turn on the air and try to cool some of you down a little bit? Did you bust them, sis? Put some mojo on them? They look down in the mouth this morning. My God, they come out of there like a seven sons of Sceva, wounded and bleeding. I'm trying to help us.
Yes, sir.
Trying to see Christ. He's rich in goodness. What? Know thee not that the goodness of God hath led you to repentance. Son, there's riches. There's power. That in God's goodness, my friend, He led you to a place of repentance and faith. Oh, yes, sir. Romans 11:23 said He's rich in wisdom. Oh, the wisdom of God. The cross is wisdom to you and I. It's foolishness to the Greeks, friend. But oh, it's wise. It's wisdom to those of us that have been saved. The worldly wise says, how can it be? How can it be? How can a man that claimed to be God wrap himself in flesh and give his life on a cross and die at the hands of wicked and vile men, and by His own power lift Himself up out of the grave and even forgive sins? I tell you, the worldly wise say, how can it be? And you and I rub swear our shoulders back and say, thank God that it's true. That's wisdom, friend. Took one of the simplest things that a man could think of and make it the way of salvation. Dying on a cross for the remission of our sin.
Amen.
How wise it is. So wise that all can get in.
Yeah.
the old, the young, the teenagers, and all the adolescents, young married couples. Made it so simple that all can believe it. That's wisdom. Had man contrived it, he'd have written something like the laws that govern the IRS now. And God only knows we'd have never figured that out. We'd all went to hell. But God said, all you got to do is look and live. Amen. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So simple. Just look and live. Look and live. How much more simple can it be, friend? Don't you worry about a lot of other stuff. If God showed you your sinner, just look and live. Look and live. Ephesians 1:7 talks about the riches of His grace. I got to hurry. Ephesians 1:8 talks about the riches of His glory. Ephesians 3:8 says that His riches are unsearchable. Paul said unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is given this to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. You want to go on a treasure hunt? Some of you young folks in here, when I was a boy, used to like to go on treasure hunts down that little old creek down behind the house. And I thought any day I'd find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Never did find it until September the 13th, 1970. And it wasn't a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but it was a pot of gold at the foot of the cross. When my golden beloved, by His goodness and riches and power, led me to that place that I might believe Him and be saved. Oh, what is your beloved more than another beloved? My beloved is a golden beloved. He's got a head of gold. He is the preeminent one and the all-powerful one. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how did He get all those riches? I'm glad you asked. Revelation 5:12 said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Amen.
He received it because as God's Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Now I've got to hurry through these. I want to say He's got power to save. Amen to God. He can save, can't He? Can you testify to that He can save? And for all you Armenian folks out there listening, He's got power not only to save, but power to keep after He's saved. Somebody said, where's the Scripture? I'm glad, yes. Who are kept by the power of God. Brother Peter said in chapter 1 and verse 5, ready to be revealed. I'm kept by the same thing I'm saved by, the power of God.
Amen.
Woo! My beloved is a golden beloved. He's got so much riches that God, because He was slain, gave Him glory and honor and power. Yes, power to save, and yes, power to keep us.
Amen.
I'm going to say thirdly, that gold, most, He just didn't say gold, but most fine gold. Not only represents His purity, His preeminence and His power, but His purity.
Amen.
Most fine gold refers to the fact that it's been refined, purified. Somebody said, where is it pure? Psalm 19:8 said, the commandment of the Lord is pure.
Amen.
Enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold,
yes.
Yea, than much fine gold.
Somebody
said, preacher, what's pure about Him? That book.
Amen.
That's why I don't like these egg-sucking RSVs and NIVs and ASVs and HIVs and all them other Vs. I don't like any of them. I like the King James Bible. It's pure. And it's more to be desired than gold. Yea, much fine gold. Brother Jerry knows what it means. Hey, I'm telling you, we live in a generation that knows nothing about the power and the blessing of the Word of God that we have. What it can accomplish in a man's life. What Brother Doug say about it in Sunday school? Not redeemed. We're redeemed by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. incorruptible, liveth and abideth forever. Help yourself, Jerome. I may help you here in a minute myself. I'm just about to get there. Some of them's even smiling this morning. That's a real blessing. Praise God, I got a smile. Yes! He's quit penguin shuffling now. He's running now, folks. Got out of the penguin state. Did it! And we're having a good time. We ought to. We ought to be loose enough to have a good time. But thy commandments of the Lord are pure. And it took the pure word of God to enlighten your eyes. Son, not by corruptible seed. You weren't enlightened by corruptible seed. You didn't get saved under my preaching, listening to the NIV and the ASV. It was old King James Bible that Brother Hall read back and preached to some of you, and you got saved by the grace of God. And if it's good enough to save you, it ought to be good enough to live by. Hallelujah. I won't say he's got pure wisdom. James said in James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Great. Somebody said, where do we get that wisdom? Any man lack wisdom, let him ask. I'm going to tell you how you can be stable in God. It's get God's wisdom about this book and about life, about sin and eternity. God will give it to you.
Amen.
Ask Him. I'm not jumping too much, but I'm having a good time preaching to you this morning. I'm going to tell you that. Having a great time. Hallelujah. Now, His preeminence, His power, His purity. But I'm going to tell you the thing in this that grabbed my heart more than any is this last thing. She said, thy head, His head is as most fine gold, but His locks are bushy and black as a raven. What about that hair growing out of that golden head? Can you imagine the sight that she must have saw? Can you imagine the revelation that God gave Solomon to write that verse of Scripture?
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Solomon saw him with a golden head and black hair, bushy like a raven, growing out of that black, out of that golden head.
Amen.
Now some thought that maybe that hair represented the saints of God. For out of the head springs all life to the body. I don't believe that's it. No. Listen carefully. In Revelation 1:14, John said his head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow, signifying the fact that He's the Ancient of Days, His eternality from centuries gone back, that He always was, always is the Lord God Almighty. He's the Ancient of Days, first and the last. But Solomon didn't see Him that way. Solomon saw His hair as black, bushy like a raven. That leads me to believe that Solomon saw Jesus in His youth. Not in His Ancient of Days, but in His youth. Strong, vigorous, full of power and energy and great glory. Because the glory, listen, the glory of the young men is in restraint. Me and old Benny was driving down the road. I'm getting gray-headed now.
Amen.
I've been around longer than him, but I'm gray-headed. We was driving down the road yesterday. I was fooling around with him, and he grabbed that knuckle. I said, boy, you're married one time. And I was trying to get him, and he got me. He said, did I really hurt you, Daddy? I said, well, yeah, boy. God, you like to broke my fingers. Old man ain't what he used to be. The old gray man ain't what he used to be. He's like the old gray man sitting over there. That's bad, wasn't it? You know how I'd go. There's the Ancient of Days sitting there, gray-headed. But this black hair signifies or sets forth His beauty, His strength, His power, and His might. Now get this. If you can get this, if you can get it in your heart the way I got it. And I wrote this down. This is not out of a book. I wrote this down. Solomon saw Him as He is perfected in his present state of being. Solomon, with that black hair and that golden head, saw Jesus as being in his eternal, glorified state.
Amen.
As he was in his power when he rose from the grave.
Amen.
Now get this now. And I'm going to give you some similitudes. I wrote these down. He's the flower that is always in bloom.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Always in bloom.
Amen.
And we sing about it all the time and ain't got enough sense to pick up on it. Never a grow old where we'll never grow old. In a land where we'll never grow old. He's the flower that is always in bloom. He's the sun that never sets. What is my beloved more than another beloved? He's the sun that is always shining. No dark days, friend, in His world. No unpleasant hours. He's a flower that always blooms. He's the sun that always shines. He's the fountain that never runs dry. Woo! So come drink! No wonder, my friend, he could say in verse number 1, oh, friends, drink, yea, abundantly, O beloved. You can drink from my fountain, for I am the eternal fountain that'll never run dry. God, have mercy on us. I turned over to the book of Revelation and got to thinking on this thing. And old John began to describe that eternal city that we're going to. That eternal city that we're going to. And I read there where he said that there was a river of water of life that proceeded out from the throne of God.
Yeah.
Patty didn't ever say anything about that river of life ever running dry.
Right. Amen.
When we drank from that river of life, friend, for the next 20 billion years, the stream will still be a-flowing.
Yeah.
Still have just as much life as it had when we got there.
Yep. Amen.
He is that river of life.
Amen.
His hair is bushy, black like a raven.
Amen.
He's mighty and strong. He is perfected in His eternal state.
Amen.
And He's the river of life that always proceeds from the throne of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name.
Amen.
And it said there in the midst of that, there was a tree that brought forth its fruit. Don't say nothing about no due season, does it? I want to read that. Huh? Don't say nothing about bringing forth no fruit in its season. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month.
Amen.
He doesn't just have leaves, friend. He's got fruit.
Amen.
And it's not a periodical type of fruitfulness.
Right.
But in a permanent, perfect state.
Amen.
He's that tree of life that the leaves are used for the healing of the nations.
Amen.
And the fruit for the sustaining of the soul. Can you get a hold of that?
Amen.
Blessed be His wonderful name.
Yes.
And because Solomon saw Him in His perfected eternal state, my friend, that's exactly how He'll be throughout all eternity.
Amen.
As a tree.
Yes.
And you know, I read about that city and it said there wouldn't be no sun or moon in that city.
Amen.
Where it said, will be the light.
Amen.
Thereof, may I say in closing, He is the light of the city.
Amen.
That is always shining.
Yes.
Has He shined in your life?
Amen.
Have you tasted of His fruit? Has He given you life? Do you know Him in the free pardon of sin this morning? And here's a glorious thing. Listen now. And we can't explain it. All we can do is say it. Because He lives, we shall live also.
Have,
not just live, folks, but live in a present, eternal, glorified state.
Amen.
As He is. Now, who in their right mind? Who in their right mind wouldn't take all they have and give it to the poor and come and take up the cross?
Amen.
And follow Him. My beloved is a golden beloved. His head is of most fine gold. His hair. His locks are bushy. They're black as a raven.
Amen.
Always in His power, always in His strength. Never weakened. Years and age will never affect Him.
Amen.
He is in a perfected state at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Have you tasted of that life? Let's stand together.